Alrighty, good afternoon. It is a privilege, pleasure to be here. Hope you guys had a good morning and a good lunch. How many of you ate Chick-fil-A for lunch? Alright, a bunch of you. My office actually is over in the den, and I can actually walk from my office to Chick-fil-A in under a minute, which is a very dangerous thing some lunchtimes because I can go crazy on Chick-fil-A. But glad you guys are here, and we're going to talk this afternoon about the concept of leadership. We're going to have one session, do an interactive leadership challenge, which I hope you'll enjoy, and then we'll have a third session, and then you will be dismissed. Before we get into some of the leadership content, I want to just make a few comments by way of introduction. As Dr. Horn said, my wife and we have a small kid. I wanted to show you a picture of our little family. So there we are. This is my wife. Her name is Fleur, F-L-E-U-R, which is French for, anyone know? Oh, you guys are good. Yep, French for flower. And I don't speak French. She speaks a whole lot more French than me. And she came here as a student, and this is where we met. And we got married in 2013, and God gave us a little son named Johnny in 2016. He is almost 2 years old, and we have a blast as a little growing family. And then when they tell you about 1 and 2 year olds have a lot of energy, they're not kidding. The guy never stops. Fun fact is my wife is from the country of, some of you know, New Zealand, Middle Earth, right? So she talks with the accent of an angel. And then in order to ask her to marry me, I had to wow her with an engagement so she wouldn't be thinking, and she would just say yes without thinking. And then, so this is where we got engaged, on top of a castle in New Zealand called Larnach Castle, which is actually built by her great-great-great-great-grandfather, William Larnach. Kind of cool story, but that's where we got engaged, and we moved here in the state to the States in 2014, where we began working here at our Center for Leadership Development. And I had the privilege and honor of working with student leaders each and every day, helping to grow, to mentor, and disciple them to be biblical leaders for the cause of Christ. And it's an overwhelming privilege. I love talking about leadership, love encouraging young leaders to grow and to develop their God-given gifts and abilities to make an impact for Christ. A few things that I like to do is my hobbies. Love running, cycling, swimming, love camping, and love traveling. I'm thinking whether I should tell you a story or not. I don't know if now's the best time for that story. So, I had the dramatic pause, and things are turning. And when things are turning on stage in front of a lot of teenagers, you need to err on the side of wisdom. But I will tell you a lot of stories this afternoon that hopefully will be exciting for you. Before I got married, after I graduated from here, moved to the country of China and was an English teacher in China for several years. Had a blast in China, traveling all over, meeting students, talking with them. And like I said, moved here in 2014 to begin this position. And God used this time in China to shape me. And He gave me opportunities to share His truth with students in a country where it's very difficult to be a Christian. And we're privileged in this country to have places like a museum of the Bible to go and to learn about God's Word. God's Word gives us direction. God's Word gives us truth. One of my dad's hobbies is hunting. One morning, when I was a wee little guy, I went hunting with Dad. And we got up really early in the morning, way earlier than like a little kid wanted to be awake. So I am going, following Dad. We're in the woods. We're walking. It's dark. We're walking around and around and around. And we can't see a whole lot. And we're walking around and around and around. And I said, Dad, do you know where you're going? And he said, shh, we don't want to spook any of the deer. Finally, we sat down. We waited for the sun to come up. And he was able to go exactly where he was going. Later he told me, you know what, Matthew? I had no idea where I was going. He didn't have anything to help him find the direction to where he wanted to go. And there's a little instrument that helps us know where we're going. It starts with a C, and it is a compass. And this afternoon, in our discussion on leadership, we're going to talk about essential characteristics of a biblical leader using the leadership compass. Developing these qualities will give you and me stability and direction as we grow as leaders. The first quality of a leader that we'll look at today, and there's four of them in the leadership compass, is character. What is character? Well, there's a bazillion definitions, but I'll just shortly define it today as doing right even when it's hard. Do you think it was right? Or do you think it was hard for Steve Green to make that decision that they would not provide care that would be care for the mom, but it'd actually be killing children? He and his company needed to have the character and the integrity to do right even when it's hard. In Proverbs 11, we learn that the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Young people, I want to challenge you today to work on the inside before you even think about gifts and abilities being demonstrated on the outside. One person said, we set young leaders up for a fall if we encourage them to envision what they can do before we consider the kind of person they can be. Another person said, your talent and giftedness as a leader have the potential to take you farther than your character can sustain you, and that ought to scare you. Young people in this room are represented an incredible amount and depth of talents, gifts, and abilities. Some of you can do things that are mind-blowingly amazing, and these talents can take you very far in your life, and I encourage you to develop those. But as that quote reminded us, your talent and giftedness as a leader have the potential to take you farther than your character can sustain you. And again, encouragement to work on the heart. Develop your inner man. Be building a character that is willing to take a stand and do right, even when it's hard, like Daniel, who Steve Green mentioned this morning. He purposed in his heart. What can you, what can I, what can we purpose in our heart to take a stand here at the Stand Conference to grow and develop our character? Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He took a stand. Things that challenge our character building are all around us. Temptations, distractions, noise, digital clutter everywhere. What small thing in your life right now has the potential to grow into a big thing that can harm you? Who knows about it other than you? Decide today, have the character today to expose your weakness to a handful of people early who love you and can help you. And we all have weaknesses. Then to risk being publicly exposed to people who could not care less about bringing shame to you or the name of Christ. Young people, we all struggle. Jesus was perfect. We are imperfect, and we struggle. And God has created people in the body of Christ to come alongside and help us. What thing today in your life and in your heart needs to grow, needs to develop character? And I encourage you as a takeaway from this point in the compass, make a hard decision today to talk to people who know you and love you and want what's best for you, and be honest with them and be real, and that will help grow your character. The second point on the leadership compass is that of competence. Competence. So first character, then competence. What's competence? Simply the ability to do what needs to be done. As an example from the Bible, we have a guy named Nehemiah. He built a wall. O Lord, I beseech thee. When he heard out about the need, The first thing he did was pray. He went straight to God. He said, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. After he prayed in chapter 2 of Nehemiah, he asked permission from the king. And later in chapter 2, he gathered the right resources. As the wall was being built, he inspected the project. He worked with people, and he deterred those who would not have the wall built. He had the competence. He knew what needed to be done, and he had the ability to carry it out, and he started with prayer. What a great lesson for biblical leaders when we set out to do something and to accomplish something, to start with prayer. John Maxwell said, seeing what needs to happen and being able to make it happen when it really counts makes you a leader of high competence. Seeing what needs to happen and the ability to make it happen, trademark of competence. How can we grow in our competence? Another illustration is a guy named Thad William Allen, born in January of 49, a former United States Coast Guard admiral who served as the 23rd commander of the Coast Guard. He is best known, you may have seen his picture in the news, he is best known for his widely praised performance directing the federal responses. Ready for this? Okay, so the responses on the federal, like national level, to Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Rita, and the Deepwater Horizon oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. Gulp. How's that for a resume item? He was the guy in charge when Hurricane Rita hit, when the Deepwater Horizon incident happened, and for Hurricane Katrina. Why was he called? Because he had the competence to do what needed to be done. And you say, Matthew, like, I'm 16. I'm not a head of some national agency. What kind of competence do I need? J. Oswald Sanders said, discipline in early life, and you are in early life. Discipline in early life, which is prepared to make sacrifices in order to gain adequate preparation for the life task, paves the way for high achievement. Right now, today, you are developing habits that will set you up on a, that are setting you up on a trajectory for future success as a leader. How can you have a successful 20s? Have successful teen years. How can you have a more successful 30s? Have successful 20 years. And on and on and on, developing life habits even today that will impact you in the future. Another quote, the path to being a better leader is paved with the asphalt of the habits we develop. What habits can you start today that will help you? Maybe reading, maybe eating more nutritiously, maybe exercising, maybe getting a full night's rest. When I was in the 10th grade, my sister and I were in our kitchen, and I loved Mountain Dew, and she was drinking Pepsi, and guzzle, 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 and we were talking to ourselves, you know what? This probably isn't very good for us. And so we decided to have a competition. So I was in the 10th grade, and as you can imagine, I'm the little brother, she's my big sister, and I want to beat my big sister in a competition, so I'm pretty hyped, pretty motivated. We said, let's see who can go the longest without drinking soda. All right, so day one, we're both clean. Day two, we're good. Day three, want my Mountain Dew, but no, I'm not going to let my sister win. Day four, day five, we're going. About 2 weeks later, guess who broke down and had a soda? Not me. So I won the competition. Yes, but guess what? Then I was like, you know what, Matthew, talking to myself, I wonder how long I can just personally go to challenge myself to see how long I can go without drinking any soda. That was my sophomore year of high school when I was 15. I'm now 32, 17 years later, and still have not had a soda since then. You know what? That started as a 15-year-old, just as a fun little change of habit, and that has helped me a lot. Can you imagine the sugar intake that I haven't gotten because of the soda? That's a one little tiny illustration of a habit. What are things in your life that you can work on this year to just start developing as a habit? Maybe reading one chapter of Scripture every day, at least one. Maybe more than one, but start with just one chapter of Scripture a day. What can you do to develop habits? Alrighty, so we got character, we got competence. Next, courage. Courage. What is courage? Moving forward in spite of fear. Courage is not about being free from fear. Courage is the ability to do the right thing and do it well, even when you are afraid. In Scripture, we're challenged and comforted with this truth. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. God is with us. We're humans. We're going to fear. God even encourages us here to go moving forward. So I was a lifeguard for a couple summers at a Christian camp up in North Carolina called the Wilds. And there's a hike. There's a bunch of waterfalls there, and there's a hike that the guys go on once a week. And it's to a waterfall called the Fourth Falls. How many of you have heard of or even been to the Fourth Falls? Okay, so the hike is not the easiest hike, right? The way there is kind of okay. The way back is like, ugh. And they take you a different way. And so I was the lifeguard, so leading the hike. And we had the big hike speech where you say, if you see any snakes, bears, or spiders, don't touch them. And please don't throw your trash on the trail. Keep it with you. After that hike speech, we're getting ready to go, and a counselor came up to me with his camper. His camper's name was Joshua. He said, Matthew, can Joshua go on the hike? And I said, well, actually, all the campers are supposed to go on the hike. And he said, well, Joshua is blind. Oh. What do you do? I said, well, does Joshua want to go on the hike? And his counselor, Jonathan, said, yes. I said, okay. So Jonathan, the counselor, Matthew, the lifeguard, and Joshua, the camper, every step of the way, all the way to the Fourth Falls. As we're getting there, we stop for another rest. Guess what? He has blood on his knee from when he tripped and fell. We're hot and sweaty. And I say, Joshua, not too many kids that are blind come to the Fourth Falls. Today you are setting a new record. And he replied, wow, I'm a privileged kid. Wow. How's that for a lesson for us with our outlook in life? And he completed that hike and made it all the way back to camp. He had the courage to move forward on a treacherous path in spite of fear. And some of you this morning, your life feels like a very treacherous path. And you're scared of moving forward. But God has commanded you to be strong, to be of good courage. We can trust in Him, and we can move forward in spite of fear. Leaders are not always the first to see an opportunity. They are simply the first to seize an opportunity. It is the person who seizes the opportunity who emerges as the leader. But fear has kept many would-be leaders on the sidelines while good opportunities paraded by. These people did not lack insight, they lacked courage. And people, be young leaders with courage to move forward even if you're afraid, and to stand up to those you interact with who may not be making wise decisions, and have the courage to confront in a loving way. Hey, these decisions, can we talk about them? How can we grow actually together in Christ-likeness? And the fourth part of the compass is commitment. Commitment. Simply dedicated to a cause. Stick with itness. Stick with itness. You've probably heard the stories of a guy named Winston Churchill who led his country to rally against Nazi Germany in World War II. And he said this as part of one of his speeches, never give in. Never give in, never, 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 and nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in, except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force, never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. Whoa, that last phrase, the overwhelming might of the enemy, he was talking about Germany. Guess who our enemy is as children of God? Our enemy is Satan, the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. We have a great enemy. But guess what? We have an even greater God. And I challenge you as young people to commit yourselves to knowing Him and to making Him known. Stick to it. I'm going to show you another picture. This is actually not of Winston Churchill. It's of me in the eighth grade. Are you ready? Okay, this is me in the eighth grade. And that was me in the ninth grade, and that was me in the 10th grade, and I got cut from our school soccer team in the 10th grade. And as a 10th grader who loves soccer, that was pretty devastating. And my coach gave me a list, a workout to do the summer between my sophomore and junior year of high school. And guess what? I followed that exactly. Changed my eating habits. I came back to school my junior year, and people actually came up and were like, who is this kid at school? Because the commitment eventually over time had results. And I want to encourage you to commit to things as young leaders. Stick it out, whether it's a project, where it's a mission team with your church. Commit to things that God has brought along to your path, and don't quit. And change will come. Another picture is of a guy named Nick. If you can read on the banner, it says, "Kiss goodbye to MS." That's short for multiple sclerosis. Nick came here as a student, started experiencing some pains and couldn't figure it out. Eventually was confined to a scooter, scooting around campus, couldn't walk without help. Couldn't figure out the problems, eventually had to go back home for better health care. He was finally diagnosed with MS, and they gave him a very specific training and nutrition regimen, which he followed very specifically. And this is him a couple years ago at the base camp of Mount Everest. He's written a book called To the Summit and created a foundation called Mastering Mountains to raise awareness for those suffering with MS. He was committed and is committed to this cause. He also happens to be the brother of my wife. He's my brother-in-law, Nick. And it's amazing to see what God is doing through him and through his foundation to raise awareness and share the gospel in the very secular country of New Zealand. Stick to it. Rely on God for results and have commitment. And in conclusion of this first session, we have a compass, but in the center of the compass, what provides the North Star? What provides the balance? And that is Christ, our faith in Jesus Christ. He is the center of all we do. Romans 11:36, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Now C.S. Lewis said, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. And the truth of God's words illumines us, and it shows us as we view the world. It gives us a lens of truth whereby we can see what is really going on. And He, Christ, and our relationship with Him is the center of this leadership compass." And we'll talk more about that in our third session. And in closing, this is a quote from a story about parenting. And this is what this author says. "After all, I knew that advice books in other fields often contradicted each other and should never be taken too seriously. This is a secular writer. She says, "I understood that the search for one right answer to life's biggest questions was futile, leading only to a downward spiral in which attempting the perfect implementation of any one book's recipe for happiness only generated further anxiety, necessitating the purchase of another book in an effort to allay it." What she's saying there, she says, I know that in other fields, books are contradicting each other, and it's a waste of time to think I can find one book that has the answers to all of life's questions. Guess what, young people? That article, dead wrong. We have a compass. We have God's Word in our hands, on our phones, on our iPads, on our Kindles, to be a compass for us as we seek to grow and to develop into young leaders with character, young leaders with competence, young leaders with courage, and young leaders with commitment centered on Christ.